This episode of the Press Row Podcast is brought to you by Out of the Park Developments, makers of the world's best sports management games. Out of the Park Baseball 16, MLB Manager 2015, and Franchise Hockey Manager 2 are all award-winning sports strategy games that reward players every day in amazing ways. An entire universe of sports awaits on your PC or mobile device. Visit OOTPdevelopments.com today for more information. You can purchase Out of the Park Baseball 16 and Franchise Hockey Manager 2 for Windows or Mac from Steam or from the Out of the Park Developments website, and MLB Manager 2015 from the iOS App Store or Google Play Store. Out of the Park Baseball 16 and MLB Manager 2015 are fully licensed by Major League Baseball.
Go ahead.
Hello, this is the Press Row Podcast with my daddy.
Welcome to the Press Row Podcast, the definitive sports video game show brought to you by Hit the Pass. I'm your host, Richard Grisham. All right, well, I'm excited. It is the episode that everybody has been waiting for, the 2015 Press Row Podcast Sports Game of the Year. We have a full panel. We have everybody back on the show for the first time in far too long. We're getting us all back together. Kat Bailey is here. Owen Good is here. TJ Lowerman is here. Chris Sanner is here. Brian Weedye is here. Sumit Sarkar is here. The whole gang. And we are here to go through the Sports Game of the Year for 2015. So, to get started, before we jump into the nominees and things like that, since it has been a while since we've all been on the show, want to start, go around and talk to everybody. Just tell me what you think overall about the year in sports games 2015. We will start with you, Brian Weedye.
Well, it was a really strong year in terms of quality. Even though we've lost a lot of games and there's only legitimately six or seven traditional sports games, league-licensed sports games, what we have gotten are really strong efforts in pretty much every one of them. Certain ones are innovating, others are improving on their weaknesses as well as their strengths. And even though they all came almost within the same 3 weeks of each other, there are so many good options. It's just limited to pretty much one per sport, with the exception of soccer. So it was a good year, although I think we all wish there were more options, which is why Rocket League comes in and kind of blows everyone's minds a little bit as an alternative kind of off-the-wall arcade-type game that has widespread appeal. So is a good year, though, I think, overall.
Owen Good, your thoughts?
I agree with what Brian said. I mean, I think this is a year in which, obviously, we have fewer alternatives, particularly in, you know, the traditional licensed games and obviously on consoles, which is where sports calls its, you know, home. But the quality did improve. And that's, you know, it's nice. Obviously, you want, you know, flagships like Madden to be rock solid. I mean, Madden has been a solid game now, I see, you know, for two years going. And that's been some, you know, one of the most henpecked titles that people, you know, talk about or complain about or play, you know, in great numbers still, you know, over the years. I think that it was also kind of a story of post-release support and features being added back. NHL 16 seemed to right the ship, but you have to admit it was largely because they were adding things back in that they had removed from last year's game just to get it out the door in its first edition on the new generation of consoles. Rory McIlroy PGA Tour, which I think is it's a very fun, entertaining, clean playing, understandable game of golf. What they showed out of the gate, though, deserved the low critical scores that it was given, although now they have brought it back up to, I think, something like 16 courses, all of them free, you know, for golfers. And that, you know, returns some value to video game golf fans, especially in time for the holidays. So it's a year in which I have felt like this year is sort of showing the attrition of increased development costs and increased licensing costs. We still have absolutely no idea or hope of a Major League Baseball game, a simulation Major League Baseball game on any Xbox platform. I mean, Xbox 360, that's gone. But there's no idea that it will ever come to even Xbox One. And then obviously what's been going on with Konami and what it is doing in its house leaves a lot to be, you know, questioned with regard to Pro Evolution Soccer, which was one of the highest ranked by Metacritic sports video games of this year. And yet they had just terrible post-release support, missing things that base an amateur would get right. So I know everybody hates to use the term mixed bag. I think on the whole, this was a year in which it was a very stable year. We're now in the third year of the current console generation, and now everything is fully on the new platforms and expected to be rock solid there. But we're also seeing what happens as things get more expensive to create. And that doesn't bode well for the diversity in this genre.
DJ Lowerman, when you survey the year 2015 in sports games, what stands out to you?
Well, as we've all said, it was a very strong year. But for me personally, what I've felt is there's become a real big divide for me in which games I like playing and which games I absolutely don't like playing. Some games I loved playing in 2010, 11, 12, 13, and then 14, and now 15 have kind of fallen off to where I'm not playing them at all. And there's other games where now it's, okay, I'm home, I have 2 minutes, I am playing this literally no matter what. If this baby is crying, I will hold him in one hand, use the controller to play a solo in Mutt.
Been there, brother. Well, not the solo Mutt part, but the rest of it.
Yeah, it's just been... I understand that all the games are great, but with so many great options, trying to spread your time out among all of them is really difficult, and being able to focus in on one or two is going to make you a happier gamer.
Sumit Sarkar, when you look back on 2015 in sports games, what do you feel? What do you see?
You know, touching on what Brian mentioned earlier, I love that although there is much less diversity than ever before, you know, increasingly less diversity in the traditional sports game scene, that there is, that there continued to be in 2015 the opportunity for something outside of that traditional realm. You know, last year I think I was one of the proponents of the indie developers, where we had the Golf Club
in that game.
You know, before, and then earlier in the year, and then obviously, right at the end, Super Mega Baseball, which you know, was our Rookie of the Year.
Yes, it was,
and you know, it was terrific,
and placed in the Game of the Year, by the way,
right
as well,
right. And you know, this year, obviously, Rocket League is that game one game that really just came out of nowhere. I mean, it had been in development for a long time, and there had been beta testing, and you know, I think there was kind of a modicum of awareness of it. But when it hit on PlayStation Plus as a free game, and you know, everyone sort of had access to it on PS4, and you know, obviously it's also on PC and coming to Xbox One in February, it really just blew everyone out of the water with a super fun and engaging take on sock car, as I like to say. And what's notable about that is that it, you know, as Brian mentioned, it had the crossover appeal to get, it won Best Indie Game at the Game Awards, which is, you know, kind of crazy when you think of the panel of judges there. You know, that most of them are pretty traditional in terms of traditional gamers in terms of they don't really play sports games. So for a game like Rocket League to take Best Indie Game over something like Her Story is pretty remarkable. So that's, you know, what I think of in 2015 is like, yeah, you know, the traditional sports games are doing pretty well, even if there aren't that many of them. But there's still room for us to be surprised, and that's exciting.
Chris Sanner, not only when you look back at 2015, what do you think? But also, you know, you are the executive editor of Operation Sports, the world's largest community of sports game fans, right? What do you look back on and think about, you know, when you think of 2015, but also what's your biggest sense or, you know, of what the Operation Sports community would answer that question as well?
Rich, did you just try to call it 2015?
I just want
that to be clear for the audience.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks for extending that.
I'm kidding, Rich. But no, I think everybody else is touching on it. You know, we have a lot less AAA games, you know, a lot less big releases. And the big sense I have, they're way too close together. We talked about this the last show. It's like literally you start release season and you're done. And in between all that, you're like, did we miss a game? Did we review everything? You know, you kind of catch yourself going, did we review everything? Is everything covered? Because, I mean, there is literally that, like, I would wake up at night with a cold sweat, like, did we review every game? I'm not really sure. I mean, they came so fast. But yeah, I mean, the quality, though, on average this year, I mean, even the worst games of the AAA games this year were still okay. I mean, they were still kind of good. Especially gameplay wise. But as far as that goes, I think the OS community feels a lot of the same way. They wish you see a lot of complaints about the release calendar. I wish that, you know, I wish we could have games a little bit more spread out so we could have time to enjoy them, you know, participate in the release cycle, all that. But also you have the general wishing that there were more games. I mean, just period, which is a weird contradiction, I guess, in some senses.
Really.
But, you know, It's totally true, though. You know, you have people still pining for name your former title that is not in existence anymore. Anything from, I mean, we still get people wanting MVP baseball, NCAA sports, you know, that's the big one. Yes. I mean, that's we cover that just all the time. So, you know, those are the two things you really get. And then the big thing, and I think with especially Operation Sports this year, has been how little controversy there's been. I mean, that's a good thing for sports gaming developers. There hasn't been that big, oh my gosh, there's a fire and I'm just leaving for a while because this is just out of hand. That didn't happen really this year. So that's the best sign yet that this year was a really good year for sports gaming. And I think, I mean, with that in mind, it was a really good year. I wish there were more games. I do wish they were spread out. I wish we had one game every month from January to December. That would be just perfect. But, you know.
I like that.
Yeah, but, you know, generally it was a good year. Can't wait to see what happens next year.
You know, I'm glad you put it that way, Chris. You know, as you were saying that and I was trying to sort of finalize my own thoughts on 2015, I realized that of all of the sports games that I played, I enjoyed all of them. I enjoyed every single one. I enjoyed some more than others. But I think unlike many years, you know, where there's just a one or two or handful of games that, you know, have real problems or I just actively disliked, I enjoyed them all. And as, you know, as mentioned in the chat, even NBA Live, which I'll just put out there right now and it's no surprise, is not a nominee by anybody in any way. Yes, I did enjoy it. I enjoyed playing the Pro-Am early on. I enjoyed how in NBA Live, you could pick the game up and play it and do some kind of cool stuff pretty quickly. I certainly enjoyed the the presentation camera. You know, there were some things about NBA Live that I enjoyed. And if there weren't other games that were significantly better than it, I would have probably enjoyed it more, right? So, again, I'm not trying to talk out of both sides of my mouth. I enjoyed it, but every other sports game was better than it. But it's not like I was playing it saying, oh, this is bad. I don't want to be playing this. I'm not having a good time. And we're going to talk a lot about all the individual games. That's sort of how I'm going to remember 2015. When I look, I'm like, oh, yeah, I played that game. That was good. Oh, I played that one. That was good. And then I'll look at some others. Oh, I played that. That was great. So, all right. So let's get into who the nominees are. So the way that we had the nominations this year was to not have any nominations. And I say that meaning what we do every year in order to determine the Press Row Podcast Sports Game of the Year is everybody, all of the, you know, core panelists, which are all on the show tonight, each submits their top three games ranked in order, number three, number two, and number one. And they submit it to me directly, but not replying all to anybody else. So nobody knows until tonight's show who ranked what. And so if a game is number three on the list, it gets 1 point. If a game is number two on the list, it gets 2 points. And if a game is number one on the list, it gets three. And the game with the most points at the end wins. So here are the nominees. So first I'll talk about who the nominees are, and then we'll talk about who the nominees are not. So the nominees, those that are eligible for the Press Row Podcast Sports Game of the Year in 2015 are, no surprise, NBA 2K16, MLB The Show, Rocket League, Madden 16, NHL 16, FIFA 16, and, yes, Derby King. And we'll get to that in a little bit. So those are all games that appeared on at least one person's list in at least one place. So what that also means is a few games are not nominees. Pro Evolution Soccer is not a nominee. Rory McIlroy Golf is not a nominee. NBA Live, not a nominee. So I'm going to talk a little bit about Pro Evo in a second. Owen Good, you are a professed fan of Rory McIlroy. It's been one of your go-to games this year, yet the game is not even nominated, which means not even you had it anywhere on your list. Does that surprise you, or why do you think that is?
It doesn't surprise me, and I tossed that back and forth, but considering my original review, and also, you know, considering, you know, how it was released and what people had when, you know, golf fans especially, you know, hung with this series and said, fine, we'll deal with the year off and come back to you, and, you know, the robust content that they had come to expect in the Tiger Woods series, that just there was nothing like it there in Rory McIlroy, and especially in the customization options, which in an individual sport, players are more likely to play as themselves or try to, you know, do something as themselves, you know, than they are in any kind of a team sport, even those with single player career options. And Rory McIlroy had just a customization options that were two generations old. There were other cynical things like you can't see the schedule in your career mode. So you don't see that every course is repeated, and you also don't see just how short the career is. And yes, they have added, as they have added, you know, courses into this game, all of them, except for one, you know, real world since, they have been added into the career, but you still don't see, well, first of all, you have to start a new season in your career to get to have them show up, and you still don't see, you know, what is next on the tour. And that was a little dodgy to me. It is a game that is, I don't know that I could classify it as a slow burn, because I think I just play golf in a different way. And I think if you're obsessive about golf, you'll enjoy it no matter what. But it still is, there still is a lot of, that's all there is to it. With Rory McIlroy PGA Tour, you know, compared to Tiger Woods PGA Tour 14, I'm sorry to compare it to its predecessor, but they're the ones who built the expectations. They have made an absolutely valiant post-release support attempt on this, and it's succeeded across the board. And I think that the game that they've released, or that they have now, is, you know, shades better than the one that came out in July, and eminently recommendable. But from a critical standpoint, you get one bite at the apple, and it has to be that way, especially with the industry and its focus on pre-orders and everybody getting their money down before something even hits a shelf. So that's why I don't think Rory McIlroy PGA Tour deserved a nomination or a third place vote.
Chris Sanner, again, you know, I always like to get your read on what Operation Sports thinks about Rory McIlroy. Is there a community there? Are they playing the game? Are the people who are playing it happy with it right now?
Yeah, you know, it's just like any other game in this position. The community is rather small because the game did not sell absolutely gangbusters. At E3 during that week, everyone was going goo-goo and all that about all the different stories. But I really said, you know, the big story that came out of this conference to me is, just how little content Rory has. And that's going to be a big deal here in a month, because at that point we hadn't really heard much about the game. And that became the big story. But now that you've had several courses and such included in the game, that's really corrected itself. And I think a lot of people are a lot more positive about the game, and it's slowly turning itself around. I think that that was a big mistake, not having the content there initially. And we'll see. Right now, though, the OS community is positive. Those that are still playing the game, I guess, is the best way to put it. Not a huge community. There's not a lot of people playing it still.
So another another game that was not on the list, which some people will be unhappy about, is Pro Evolution 2016. And I played it. I played more of Pro Evo this year than I have any year, and I think it's fantastic in a lot of ways. I mean, we'll come back to a little bit as to why I think it might not be on the list. But, Brian Weeda, I'm going to pose a question to you, all right?
Mm-hmm.
So this panel is made up of what I think is an excellent representation of, you know, North American sports game fans, right? We've got three people from Metacritic sites. We've got, one representing, you know, the largest community of sports games fans, sports game fans. You know, we've got one representing the by far the top independent voice in the space, and we have the fan, right? Just somebody who just loves sports games and got into the community that way. Are we representative of North American sports game fans at large in that, yeah, Pro Evo is cool, but it just doesn't even get nominated by any of us? What does that mean?
There's a few things. I think, first of all, everyone on here pays attention to sports games, not just pre-release like a lot of websites, but post-release. And so Pro Evolution took a huge hit to the way people are perceiving it with its inability to provide roster updates, like the simplest of things. And so, and the most reasonable of expectations, updated rosters. Took until December, took practically 3 months until you had updated rosters in the game. And so they had to come out and apologize. Doesn't really do much. They have to, the Euro content coming next year, we'll give it to you for free, which they may have been doing anyway. So I think in terms of that, that's something we follow. And that if you look at the Metacritic score for Pro Evolution, it's the highest since 2013 of any sports game. But those were all release date reviews. Those don't take into account anything that happens after. And also, without the licenses, in North America, or at least in the United States, the adoption of soccer it's been trending upwards. MLS has been growing consistently. But it's not a big enough sport in the nation to where two games can really get people's attention. FIFA right now, is the game when people think soccer in the United States. FIFA is the game. That's what everyone gets. Pro Evolution sales this year, I mean, we're in North America barely over NBA Live, which sold nothing. So it still has its regions where it is strong, but that's just not here. And so that also plays into it, is that it's just not a big game where we are all located.
Smith Sarkar, do you think that Pro Evolution will continue in its current format, a $60 a year annual game, or do you think that the new move from them to release a free-to-play version with MyClub, which is their version of Ultimate Team, is where this franchise is headed based upon everything that Brian just said?
Well, there's a lot to consider even beyond what we've discussed so far, and the sort of unknown in this equation is what kind of traditional AAA console development and publishing Konami will undertake going forward. This year you had them release Metal Gear Solid V, The Phantom Pain, and then Pro Evolution Soccer 2016. But earlier in the year, they had some personnel changes and some corporate restructuring, and the new president said that the company is going to have a quote mobile first unquote plan for making games going forward. And he said in an effort to reassure fans, he was like, no, that doesn't mean we're giving up on console and PC games or ignoring those markets, but we're going to be thinking mobile first. And that's what we see with My Club. And at this point, they haven't, as far as I know, Konami hasn't announced any traditional console games for that, you know, it's going to publish in 2016. Now, obviously, now is not the time when they're going to announce that PES 2017 is in development. You know, that marketing campaign sort of spins up later. But, you know, it is something to be concerned about and for fans of the franchise. So it's unclear what the future of that series is as a, you know, traditional console game, a true competitor to FIFA. And you know, considering, you know, the stuff Brian was mentioning about the regional markets, you know, maybe that's something where, you know, they don't just get rid of the game completely, but they scale it back and maybe don't release it in the West, or at least not in North America. You know, if that's crazy expensive for them to do, or and they don't get a great return on investment. I mean, it's, as far as I know, still the number one game in Latin America. So obviously, that, you know, they would presumably continue to release it there. But yeah, certainly a lot of questions about the future of PES, and we'll have to see how things shake out next year.
Another game that was not nominated this year was Forza 6. Forza Motorsport 6 is another one of my absolute favorite games of the year. I've played it quite a bit on it's an Xbox One exclusive. It's just a wonderful experience in so many ways. It's got just a tremendous selection of vehicles. The racing itself is great, whether you are a relative, you know, I don't want to use the word novice, but whether, you know, just sort of a, I play racing games every once in a while for fun, or are a serious guy in between. There's all sorts of really cool and easy to implement customization options and upgrades. I just, unfortunately, because of the quality of the other experiences, I could not put Forza on my list as well. Kat Bailey is here. Kat, thank you very much for coming tonight. Quick question for you before we get into the official countdown. When you look back in the year 2015 and think about sports games, what's the theme that you think of, or, you know, what's your overall feeling on sports games in 2015?
What's the overall theme that I think of? The theme that I think of is sports games hitting their stride. Sports games, like, the first year, 2013, was definitely sports games kind of feeling their way into the generation, just trying to transition smoothly. Year two, I would say year two, even though it was technically the first full year, 2014, was definitely sports games going, okay, we've got a firm footing. We're going to start trying to build a foundation here. And you definitely saw that, particularly in Madden. NHL made its debut and it was kind of dicey, et cetera. And now, like, they're all comfortable with the technology. They have their technological foundation established, and sports games are just, like, full speed ahead. You see games like NHL and Madden making major strides. You see bold new modes like Draft Champions. So I would say that this is the current generation entering its prime.
All right, up next, this is, again, one of my favorite parts of this episode. We go around the table, and everybody will say why this particular game should be the sports game of the year in 2015. Now, each panelist with their game assignment does not mean that this person picked a particular game as the sports game of the year. So just want to make sure everybody knows that going in. And in case you're wondering, we will, of course, after the countdown, everybody will talk about and reveal their own personal selections from three down to one. So let's start. And when I brought it up before, I might have sounded a little, a little sarcastic. Didn't mean that. But we're going to start with you, TJ Lowerman. Why is our friend Ian Cummings' game, Derby King, why should it be the sports game of the year in 2015?
Rich, there was a hole in my heart this year in sports games. I have not been able to find any mobile game that's held my interest for more than maybe 5 minutes. In the past, great games like Super Stickman Golf, which would obviously be nominated if it came out this year, which it didn't. It was a 2013 joint. Next year, Super Stickman Golf 3, I'll be prepared to talk about that at this show next year. But yeah, everybody needs a sports game when they're sitting on the toilet, Rich. Derby King has done that for me. My current horse, Trump's America, is just dominating races left and right.
Oh, boy.
I get to whip and nene with my horse. It's pretty awesome. I like it. You can, you know, you race to earn money to buy better stuff for your horse. You can, like, upgrade the bit that they chew on, get them better shoes and all sorts of stuff. It's just a great pick-up-and-play sports game for when you're on the go. Hopefully they can bring this to the console, because I don't think there's any great horse race games on the console right now. I think there was one in Japan that came out this year that might have been PS3 only. But you get to upgrade your horse. You can create new horses. Rich, you know what one thing is that people hate about Rich Grisham?
How bad we are. It's a long list.
One. Don't have time for that. Don't have just one. One thing people hate about mobile games is, like, the energy systems. This gives you, like, 10 races before you have to pay. I've never spent a dollar in this, so Ian probably hates me because I'm not giving him any money for this game.
I was going to say, yeah, like, you don't even throw the guy, like, $5 after playing the game that much?
You know what? I probably should. And I'll go buy, like, the super big thing of $99. I can get $9 million
wow.
in the game.
He's got a $99 purchase in there? Nice job, Ian. Way to go, man.
Hey, man, you got to do it. It's a market to scale. There's whales out there. Great game, great pickup and play game. I want to say it's free. I don't think it. No, I'm pretty positive it was free. If you have an Android or an iOS phone, I would definitely consider picking it up. It's been a heck of a lot of fun. And look, you know, it's a good game if I'm willing to put up with the semi questionable YouTube gaming app on Android that records gameplay, and I'm willing to go through that nightmare to get videos of this up on my YouTube channel.
That's a good point. A fair point. And yes, you know, we actually I had a nice long talk with Ian about his journey creating Derby King on an episode of Hit the Pass Radio, as well as a piece I wrote for the Sporting News. So if you want to hear Ian talk about how that game came together, it's a really interesting story. And congratulations to Ian on that game. It's been a success. He talks all about it on that episode. OK, so Owen Good. Why should FIFA 16 be the 2015 Press Row Podcast Sports Game of the Year?
Well, I realize that I might be someone who is late to the party on this particular title, and it finally connected with me in this year where it had hit other people in years prior. Still a high-quality game, you know, but obviously iterative sports development is something that gets refined every year. I just feel like FIFA this year put things together in an understandable way. Last year was a game that I did review it last year. You know, it was challenging, but it also seemed a little cheap in how it was bent toward the big plays. And this year it was a lot tougher on defense, and, you know, patches since launch have sort of modulated that out somewhat. But I feel like it was a fair and honest game of something that actually is, you know, pretty simple in concept. Whereas in past years, FIFA was something that I was, you know, trying to figure out, you know, am I using the proper pass? Am I using the proper feint or ball trick to get past my man? And now it's, you know, I think it's a game that's a little bit more about spacing and pacing and just presenting yourself with the opportunity to shoot on the goal. I think FIFA is probably the most refined game of any licensed sports title available on consoles, and I include NBA 2K in that, mainly because I think FIFA gets the most refined title over NBA 2K, because NBA 2K keeps changing its control system, which is very difficult to deal with, you know, year to year, especially if you're not somebody who plays it as your main sports game or main game every year. But FIFA is something that I think understands its sport the best of any sports video game out there. The tension and the desperation of, you know, equalizing, going ahead, scoring late. And when you score in those moments, there is nothing, no game rolls out the TNT, as I said in the review, like FIFA 16. It just pays off in such a cathartic way. This year, the improvements added, they had the FUT drafts, which is similar to Draft Champions in Madden, except there is a little bit of a pay to participate mechanic in there that is unfortunate, although for balancing purposes I kind of understand why they had to do that, especially given how distorted FIFA Ultimate Team can make things, how you could use FUT drafts to grind up through that. I think the inclusion of the women's national teams, while they are not full participants in the sense that you have them available in career modes or, you know, all of the other modes of the men's game, certainly they're not available in the Ultimate Team modes. It was better than I had expected. I had taken a very jaundiced view of that going in, and I think that they really did do credit to what they, you know, set out to honor there. And so I've got to tip my cap to that and apologize a little for how shrill I was about the service that side of the game was getting going in. It supplied some very exciting soccer. It also is a recognizably different game. And I think I said it plays a lot more like collegiate soccer in terms of, you know, the shots on goal totals and some, especially if you're playing against inferior teams, how you can just overwhelm them, which is true to life. I feel like FIFA 16 is one of those games where at what point in the evolution do you want to pull it out and say, okay, this time it's the game of the year? You can do it in every single year because its quality is high every single year, but its evolution is a lot more subtle. This is just the year that it connected with me. Maybe it didn't connect with other people. Maybe some people felt that the AI defense was a little too tough. I think that it kept you a little more honest. I think it made some of the new ball handling mechanisms more necessary. I think it made playing a more active defense and playing a more active strategy necessary than in the past, where you just sort of kick it around and put it in the goal. This was the year that it came together for me, and that's why I'd be happy to say that it's a game of the year. I think FIFA is a game of the year in every single year. It's just a question of whether that it receives the majority of that opinion.
Cat Bailey, why should Madden NFL 16 be the 2015 Sports Game of the Year?
It's kind of the same way with me as what FIFA was for Owen. This is the year that Madden connected with me. Madden is definitely the sports sim that I have played the most this year. A lot of that is to do with the fact that I finally started playing Ultimate Team, which I have really mixed feelings about as a mode and everything, but I can't deny that it's kept me playing and it has kept me checking back all the time. But there are a lot of things that I like about this version. First of all, it really looks great. It's a great looking sports game. They've That's done a true. Terrific job of making the stadiums look alive and interesting yep. and cool. I love the crowd, and I love that you can see the signs that they're waving in the end zones and everything. That's great. The aggressive catching and stuff proved kind of controversial, but at the end of the day, like, it's fun, and I'm glad that they, like, tackled that element of the game, and it felt like the most material improvement that I've seen. And yeah, like, balancing was an issue at the start, but they've actually done a pretty good job of addressing that in subsequent patches. And I think that's another part of Madden this year. They've really supported the hell out of Madden 16. They've had a couple of pretty big patches, including one that introduced XP sliders, which addressed probably the single biggest criticism of the game, while fixing a lot of the bugs and changing and rebalancing the gameplay. I mean, just adding in XP sliders so helped the leagues that we actually restarted one of the leagues that I was in to be able to take advantage of it. Like, that's how, like, fundamental it was. And I was expecting that next year, so kudos to EA for listening to the fan feedback on that one. And they also really materially improved Draft Champions. And we've talked about Draft Champions a whole bunch up until this point. Everybody kind of knows it's the mode where you draft some guys, you throw together a team, and you try to win as many games as possible. It's basically the arena mode in Hearthstone. It's cool. It's used to get stuff, to get rewards in Ultimate Team. And I'll admit that I really loved it at first, and then I kind of burned out on it. And I was like, well, I've had my fun with this mode, but it's too basic. Well, once again, kudos to EA. Like, they've gone in and they've added a ton of value to it. Like, for Ultimate Team people, they're like, all right, well, now if you pay in some coins, I forget, like, the number. It's actually quite a bit lower than FIFA. You can play for much greater rewards, including, like, really good packs, like Legend packs and that kind of thing. And so you're like, okay, well, I'm back in. And then just recently, they added the ability to play with friends, which is also awesome. And people can go, well, why wasn't this available out of the box? Well, I choose to take the optimistic point of view and say that they are listening to fans and they did not put this off and they've been really supporting this game for free. And I offer them my kudos. But I think the main thing is that just this year, yeah, like Madden has its flaws. Every sports game has its flaws. But this is the most fun I've had in ages playing this particular football sim. The defense feels more balanced than it has in years past. It's not quite as emphasizing on cheese and that kind of thing. The offense feels a lot more free-flowing and fun than last year. It was better, but it felt kind of choppy and slow in a way. Like, the pace felt choppy. But this year, like every game I've played has been really fun. And it's just, I feel like Madden has been the most improved sports game this generation. And I think that a lot of it is to do with the fresh blood that they've brought in. And maybe it's not quite up to the level of an NBA 2K or a FIFA in terms of presentation, but you can't say that they're not trying. And they are making strides every year. And I think it's time that people put to bed this notion that Madden is just all about, well, they have the exclusive license, so they're never going to try again. That is obviously not the case. Madden 16 is a good game.
Chris Sanner, why should NHL 16 be the 2015 Sports Game of the Year?
Well, we all know the story, the sad, sad story of NHL 14. So we will have to start there and basically say this series, the future was in question. People were wondering, well, what the heck's going to happen, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And what did the NHL team do? They answered. They answered in a very definitive way. The game improved dramatically this year. Unfortunately, and I think the one thing that has worked against it this year is that it was squeezed in the middle of a, you know, that tight release calendar we're talking about. I think NHL was the game that really was hurt most by that. And a lot of people just overlooked it. I think a lot because of last year and also because of the simple fact that hockey really, you know, at that point in the year just isn't on a lot of people's minds for whatever reason. And I think squeezed in between all those games, it really got overlooked. But what did NHL do this year? Well, you got ESHL back, which this year was, quite a bit of fun, I would have to say. Hockey Ultimate Team is just absolutely a blast. It is NHL and FIFA both have the best ultimate teams out there, I think. And NHL's is just entirely underrated. Again, I just think the series itself is underrated at this point. And Hockey Ultimate Team did just such a great job. Be a Pro and Be a GM both just had huge improvements in various areas. The patches have improved the game in those areas as well. It's just getting better all the time. And those two modes really came back strong this year. They're both, I would say they're both not at the level that people would love them to be at, but they are both very fun to play. And then you get down to the meat and potatoes of the game, and that's when you get on ice. And the presentation in NHL, in my opinion, may be, if it's not the best in sports gaming, it is definitely up there in that conversation. They do such a fantastic job. The commentary, if you are not excited when you have a breakaway and you're trying to, you know, you got a one-on-one with the goalie and you're trying to score and the, you know, crowd's going crazy, commentators are going crazy. I mean, that's fun. That is fun stuff. And I'm not, and as everybody here knows, I am not the typical like hockey diehard fan, but that is simply fun. The gameplay itself is very fluid. A lot of hardcore hockey folks definitely have their qualms with it, and I can see the realism issues that are there. But for the everyday sports fan who wants something that is pick up and play but incredibly fun, NHL and FIFA are both just huge master examples of that. NHL, also developed by EA Canada. I mean, the gameplay, I have had more fun playing NHL on the ice this year than just a lot of sports games in recent memory, just because I think it's the total package of the presentation, the modes, etc. But this year it has really come on. And in all honesty, we're really getting to a point now where I think NHL, I mean, I think everyone remembers last generation where it was a game of the year type of game every year. I think we're back to that level now with this series. And everybody at EA Canada, they deserve so much credit for this game because, A, I think, again, it was very much overlooked. And B, the way they answered, I mean, there was so much criticism they were facing. This thing could have really went south on them, but instead they buckled down. They delivered a very solid product, and I would not argue with anybody who put NHL in their top three this year.
Sumit Sarkar, why should Rocket League be the sports game of the year for 2015?
Well, let me count the ways. I mean, as I mentioned earlier, we were very enamored with. Most of the people on this podcast panel were really enamored last year with Super Mega Baseball when it launched right at the end of the year because it was something fresh. It was something new. It was a throwback in a lot of ways to the kinds of games that everybody loved. And everybody, meaning people outside the hardcore sports fan crowd. And Rocket League was that kind of game in a lot of ways, where it was this. It's one of those things where it's like such an amazing premise that you're gobsmacked that nobody's thought of it before, right? Like it's literally just soccer with cars, and the way it. It brings people together is really incredible in terms of its capacity for, you know, both local multiplayer, which like I had a ton of fun playing Rocket League with my girlfriend, and also, you know, online multiplayer where, you know, you could really see that game taking off in an esports sense. You know, it's got those, you know, 2-on-2, 3-on-3, 4-on-4 game types. And at the same time, it's really, really well balanced because it just comes down to your skill on the controller, and that's like something that's really special about Rocket League is that it's just like it's so tight, it's so much fun to play. You know, the idea of making cars that can like jump or boost or turn while they're in the air, you have this sort of fine degree of control. Allowed for something that you can pick up and play with whoever and, you know, enjoy yourselves, but also like something that has this really deep level of strategy to where, you know, you can watch videos of high level Rocket League play and just have your mind blown by what people can do if they're really good at the game. You know, you can just watch people get into the air and then just fly halfway across the field of play just with their boost and just, you know, by the way that they're able to maintain control of their vehicle. And just the games themselves, you know, those 5-minute matches with, you know, it's like sudden death overtime if it's still tied at the end. It's just a great, great package. And they've done seems to be a theme this year. Developer Psyonix has done a really good job of supporting it with DLC, both free and paid. There's a hockey mode that they just added this week, and to me that makes all of that makes Rocket League, you know, really, really special, for the developers thinking outside the box and delivering something that you know, sports fans can enjoy, but also people who don't give a crap about soccer, let alone sports, you know, that they can have fun with too. And so, you know, all that for me is why it's, you know, it could be game of the year.
Brian Weedy, why should MLB 15 The Show be the 2015 sports game of the year?
If I recall correctly, MLB 14 The Show won last year, right?
You do recall correctly.
Okay. Well, MLB 15 can make a much better case for the award this year than it did last year. It improved not just on its strengths, which is that's pretty much been the way of the show over the years as they continue to stack onto their strengths, but the weaknesses kind of linger. But for the first time with MLB 15 The Show, they really delivered a truly complete product by improving on their weaknesses. New features this year like directional hitting, universal rewards, licensed equipment, all very, very good stuff. Save migration, taking saves for your franchise or Road to the Show from MLB 14 to MLB 15. It's a big deal for a lot of people. And I think that tells you a lot about what type of consumer plays the show. They invest a lot of time, which is why they want to that ability to bring over and continue what they started the previous year instead of having to start at scratch every year like you do in most sports games. They also streamlined Diamond Dynasty to make it a mode that is actually appealing to people as opposed to how it had been for previous years, appealing to the Ultimate Team type of players, but also to those who maybe aren't in that into those things yet or have found that they didn't really enjoy them in the past because it was much more simplified, much more easy to understand, and easier to enjoy. They also improved the loading times, which would be a very underrated thing. You can't really sell that on the box art, but improving loading times when it cutting them in half practically, it improves the experience throughout the entire product. Most surprisingly, online play ran really well for the first time ever in the show. It was the servers were reliable. The games were fun to play online. Online franchise actually worked after the first month of release, that is. So they improved a ton of stuff, not just what they were already good at, but what they if there had been criticisms, in many of those they dealt with. There's still plenty of ways the game can improve, obviously. The modes are somewhat stale. Those same modes where people are carrying over saves, Road to the Show and franchise, a lot of people feel are stale. The series definitely needs new commentary. They didn't quite deliver on their promise of greater player emotion and certain aspects of authenticity. But in MLB 15, the show, you had a great gameplay experience. They combined it with a really deep feature set, valuable additions and changes to the game, and made reliable, enjoyable online play, which is just a breakthrough for the show. So that makes MLB 15 a real challenger for the crown this year.
So, Rich Grisham, why should NBA 2K16 be the sports game of the year for 2015? And the answer to me is easy. NBA 2K16 is absolutely bursting with greatness. It not only has strong, you know, on-court gameplay, and it is extremely strong. And I think, and you know, it's funny, like when Owen is talking about FIFA and maybe it spoke to him this year, like I've been a fan of the NBA 2K series for years and, you know, many years going back, you know, a couple of consoles, the Jordan Challenge, I think it was NBA 2K11 is the one that completely blew the doors off for me and for many other people. But you know, the NBA 2K on the court, I think is the best controls ever, and people are going to be like, "What did you say? The best controls ever? They're insanely complicated," but they're actually not, because the beauty of NBA 2K at this point is that there's like five layers of control that you can experience, and they all work. I don't get below what I'm going to call level two, right? Like all I do when I'm playing that game, and you know, on the court in 5-on-5. Is I sometimes call a play going down the court using the D-pad. Most of the time, I don't. And then I will pass around a couple of times, and then I will use the left trigger to call a screen, and I'll try to get an open shot. And if I don't get the open shot, I'll pass to a guy who, because the AI is pretty intelligent, is typically rolling to the post or rolling to an open spot. And the game, if I just use that level of control, right, calling a pick and roll and maybe setting a screen, it lets me enjoy the game. And there are people who go the second, the third, the fourth level down, right? They go the low post play, you know, they do things. The game, you can play the game no matter how high level or how deep you go. The deeper you go, the more rewarding it is, the more complex it is. But it's astounding to me that I've really sort of discovered that, you know, you don't have to be great at the controls to enjoy playing the game on the court. But that's not even the big deal about NBA 2K. It has something great for every kind of video game player. If you want to just play a single player game that has a story as well as a sport, my career is astounding. Not the living the dream. I mean, not necessarily. I enjoyed it for what it was at a silly level. I accepted it and thoroughly enjoyed it. Some people didn't. But then when you get into the second year, it is the best implementation, the most interesting implementation, the easiest to play extended numbers of games on in my career. The Park, basically an online sports MMO, which has had significant improvements to last year. The Pro-Am, which now works, didn't at the start, but the Pro-Am where you can create your own club and you can run, you know, with your friends against other teams in your own custom arenas. I mean, Brian Weed, I had an amazing post all just about how you customize your arenas is spectacular. That's online cooperative. It's got a wonderful GM mode as well as a season mode where you can, if you want to, mix and match historical teams and current teams, even in an online league with your friends, with as few games as about 15 and as many as 82. Are you kidding me? That is what I've been asking for years, and it works. And oh, by the way, online works great. Are you kidding me? This has been the Achilles heel of this game for years, and now it works great. Oh, and they've also got what many people say is the best ultimate team type mode in my team. If you don't have NBA 2K16 as your sports game of the year, you're wrong. All right, so with that, let's find out officially what is the 2015 Press Row Podcast Sports Game of the Year. Coming in, oh, by the way, I'll say even before I say this, this is by far the closest vote we've ever had from number 3 to number 1. By far. Okay, so coming in at number 3 with 10 points, Rocket League.
Yeah!
What? Really? It's not number 1? Holy crap.
It is not number 1. It is number 3.
Sounds about right.
I'll take it. I'll take it.
As usual, wrong opinions. All right. Let's hear what number 2 is.
Coming in at number 2 with 11 points, one more than Rocket League, MLB 15 The Show. Coming in at number 1, the winner of the 2015 Press Row Podcast Sports Game of the Year is NBA 2K16. Congratulations to the guys over at NBA 2K. We know a few of them, Scott O'Gallagher, Dazar, Mike Wang, Leftos, and all those guys. Congratulations, gentlemen. You deserved it. Well done. Go around the horn real quick. Instant reactions. Give me a hot take, Cat Bailey.
It's fine. I thought that Spike Lee's the Spike Lee joint was terrible and completely ruined my team, which was my favorite part of it. I thought it was materially better last year. I thought the franchise mode was good. I liked the ability to move my team, but I never did. I thought the gameplay on the court was actually really good. And as usual, NBA 2K is still a freaking fun game to play. I just think Rocket League is the undisputed game of the year, and I think it's completely nuts that we're not ranking it number one.
All right, so let's get right to it, right? So now let's go through the individuals, right? So NBA 2K16 had 12 points. The Show had 11. Rocket League had 10. The other guys, by the way, weren't even close. Madden was in fourth place with 4 points, right? So it was, I mean, it was literally those were the three games that had the chance, all right? So, Kat, since we were with you, let's stay with you. You had Madden number 3, NBA 2K number 2, and Rocket League number 1. Explain yourself.
Oh, okay. So I didn't put MLB in there because I don't think – I think the career modes have gotten really stale. I think it's undisputably, like, the most beautiful sports game around. And I was really happy that they finally got the online play to work. But – I don't know, like, there's something missing about that game, that series for me. Maybe it's the fact that it's baseball and I'm not as engaged with that sport. Madden, like, I already made my case for Madden. NBA 2K, like, outside of the my team being ruined and everything, I thought that the gameplay improvements were really good, and it's still, I mean, it's still a really freaking good sports game. It just is. I mean, you look at it, it looks phenomenal. It's really fun to play. It makes even basketball haters like me enjoy it. There's a lot to really like about that game. I think that its franchise mode does things like the draft really, really well and is really good at doing feedback. It's great. So I would say Madden's most improved. NBA 2K is still the best all around. But Rocket League has to be number one because, first of all, like, the way that it exploded onto the scene was just awesome. Like, it just came out of nowhere, but at the same time, it didn't really come out of nowhere because it was this game that had a really, really solid foundation, a really, really solid concept. And I was talking to the people over at Psyonix about it, and they're like, yeah, like, we knew that we had this phenomenally fun game, but it was just a matter of getting it to the masses. And it was like, okay, rename it, make it free on Instant Game Collection, and just make sure that it's put in front of people. But the real trick was ultimately that it wasn't just a fun palate cleanser as it appeared right away. It was actually a really deep game. What you could do with aerials and that kind of thing, like, there's a real, like, skill level to that game, which explains why it's quickly becoming a viable esport. It dominated streaming initially. It's fallen off a little bit in that category, but it's still very popular. It has a very strong fan base. It's going to continue to be supported into the new year. It's new. It's fun. It's great. It's interesting. It so encapsulates everything that's going on in this generation in terms of digital distribution, how a game becomes popular in social media. And not only that,
esports.
Too. Can't forget esports. And not only that, but as I was kind of saying, like, so many sports games are all about engaging with them as a fan. You don't play sports games anymore where you are feeling like you are actually playing a sport. And the reason Rocket League is so popular is because it encapsulates that feeling of playground basketball or playground soccer, where you're playing with your friends, you know, where you're actually engaging in the sport and you're not pretending you're a general manager or whatever, or you're not just playing a simulation. And I think that's great, and I want to see more sports games like that. So in all of those ways, I think that there's just no question that Rocket League is the best sports game of the year.
So we're going to stick with somebody who agrees with you. Owen Good, your ranking had MLB The Show at number 3, NBA 2K at number 2, and also Rocket League at number 1. Explain yourself, sir.
I really turned this over in my head, went back and forth on it. I think Rocket League is the kind of game that gets it on a breakthrough basis. It's the kind of thing where it is such a breath of fresh air in a medium that has a genre that has such high barriers to entry, and it's kind of the way I felt about Super Mega Baseball last year, but it was unquestionably the new story of sports video gaming in 2015. And in some ways, I almost feel like you know, are we culturally appropriating Rocket League? Do the people who play it in such large and enthusiastic numbers think that they are even playing a sports video game? You know, who is glomming onto whom here? It is a huge crossover hit. I think it shows, you know, a really worthy and commendable, you know, development instinct to think outside of the box on some things. This could have easily been, I don't know, robots playing soccer with in a futuristic arena, and then it would have just looked like another soccer game, except you had, I don't know, two or three players on each side. This is something that's new and different, and most of all, it is something that is easily gettable. That is where I think sports video games have the biggest problem, is that it's the large body of knowledge that they assume a user has outside of just playing that game. You see it a lot in, you know, games like Madden, in games like NBA 2K, where it's like, okay, this is, you know, what this type of an offensive set looks like. This is what, you know, this type of passing pattern looks like. Rocket League, you're just making it up as you go along. It was really tough because in the past I've said if NBA 2K gets its multiplayer right, it's the sports video game of the year. And it did, and it wasn't. Because there was something that came in that, again, was sort of that sucker punch from an indie developer that wasn't beholden to a license or iterative development. In NBA 2K16... we saw on the margins, this is a really tough, a very thin vote, you know, separating first from second place. I think NBA 2K16 absolutely delivers the most value for your money, you know, even at $60. And even if you're going to buy stuff in my team, it is endless content. Rich, you did a wonderful job, you know, outlining all of the things that you can do in that game. And I know that Spike Lee's presentation of the single player is cheesy in parts, and some of it did make me roll my eyes, but I frankly have a bell curve for video games in general, in the stories that they try to tell, because of the limitations that they have in both their budget and their ability to tell stories. And so I give it a pass on that, and I credit 2K Sports for trying to do something different with this, you know, as opposed to, you know, some of the other modes where it's just they let you, you know, think up the narrative on your own. If NBA 2K16 was the sports video game of the year, I'd be apologizing to Rocket League. As it is, you know, that's kind of where it comes in. If you reverse the roles, because NBA 2K16 is our sports video game of the year, I would be apologizing to Rocket League in the same way I would apologize to NBA 2K16 if Rocket League wasn't.
Right.
I view them almost as tied. But if you're coming down to the end and what the dividing line is, Rocket League is the story of sports video gaming in 2015. That I believe for sure. And that's what would make it a worthy a champion in this regard. But in terms of comprehensive quality, NBA 2K16 by a mile.
So we had Kat and we had Owen, who both had Rocket League ranked number one. Let's talk to somebody who didn't have Rocket League in their top three at all. One of them, at least, and that would be Chris Sanner. Chris Sanner, you had EA's NHL at number three, FIFA at number two, and NBA 2K at number one. Explain yourself, sir.
Well, apparently I'm the hipster of sports gaming voters this year, because I picked all the sports with international kind of ties. So I don't know. Actually, it's very simple for me. I had NBA as my top game, and it wasn't even close. As far as the overall package, a game that's innovative, basically innovating in every way, from how it handles franchise modes to how it handles single player story modes to how it handles online play, to the presentation of the gameplay. As far as a AAA sports title goes, NBA 2K has no parallel, has no peer in our genre right now. And I struggled for 2 and 3. I went back and forth on FIFA, NHL. I went back with Madden. I had MLB The Show. I actually never considered Rocket League. I did not play enough of the game, so that's why I didn't even. I'm hoping to pick it up more in the new year. So Unfortunately, if I had played it, I probably would have been even more hipster and put it number one, and it would have won the whole thing. So sorry, everybody. But
well, that's the best part about this is you can pick out any one of us and blame us for why X Game didn't win. It's perfect.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things where basically I gave NHL the third place vote for a couple reasons. One, I mean, I already talked about it. I feel like it's been overlooked, and I feel like I just feel like the game deserves some recognition. It's just what they've done and where they're going. It's going to be great, and this year's game was a lot of fun to play. And FIFA is just like, I mean, Owen said it earlier this year. You could give it Sports Game of the Year a lot of years. I don't think it's like up to NBA 2K's level right now, but it is just a phenomenal game, and that's just kind of where I settled. You could make an argument for a lot of games right now from I think NBA 2K and from what people are saying with Rocket League, I think, you know, you could interchange those, and then there's just a bunch of games right there that could settle at 2 and 3. So again, this year was a quality year, and it's really hard to discern. So I don't blame any of the choices. Good job, everybody. All that fun stuff.
Smith Sarkar, you're right in the middle. You had Rocket League in your list, but you had it at number 2. You had, as well as Chris Tanner, NHL at number 3. So NHL getting some love from two of the panelists. But your game of the year was MLB The Show. Explain yourself, sir.
You know, for me, it was a strange year in sports video games. And I think my list was perhaps similarly to Chris's, shaped greatly by just, you know, the amount of the various sports games that I played. Like, I'm sure NBA would have been on my list if I'd played more of it. You know, I reviewed MLB The Show. I gave it a 9 out of 10. I loved the game, and also really loved Rocket League. So that, you know, for me, you know, 1 and 2 were sort of flipping back and forth. Obviously, I've already made my case for Rocket League on this show earlier, but, you know, for MLB, I think, you know, 15 didn't get as much credit as 14 did, because for last year they had the, you know, game-changing additions of quick counts and player lock. But for me, just as important this year were the new hitting and pitching options, which is like, it's amazes me. You know, year after year, Sony San Diego can come up with new ways to pitch and hit in this game. Directional hitting is something that is super important for someone like me, because I just still have a real tough time hitting in MLB The Show, and I'm sure I'm not alone in that respect. And so bringing in this intermediate option between just the simple timing-based hitting and the, you know, really challenging zone hitting with the pitching cursor is a fantastic way to you know, bring more people in and give them an option that is, you know, not just pressing X and timing it with the pitch. And then I really like the pitch trail as well that they added, where, you know, like you have an arc showing the trajectory of, you know, an ideal, perfectly executed pitch. That's way clearer than the old system that they had with the sort of, you know, little chevrons that would illustrate the pitch's break. And it, you know, it's great because it's a visual representation of the pitch, so you can see right there the difference between, you know, your Adam Warrens and your Clayton Kershaws, right? Like you can see that Kershaw's curveball is gonna just like have a ridiculous break to it. And so those I feel like didn't get enough credit from MLB. The online stuff was great. I thought also, as someone who never gives a crap about Ultimate Team type modes, Diamond Dynasty Distilled was a really fun experience. I wish there were a way to play games that, you know, weren't 9 innings, but you know, way less complicated, way easier to get into than the Diamond Dynasty, the stuff that they had in previous games. And then, you know, cherries on top, like the addition of licensed equipment, I loved MLB. NHL, you know, was a game that I also reviewed and you know, wanted to give the studio a lot of credit for getting back on their feet this year compared to last year's disastrous effort. And you know, while they're not back to par with that franchise yet, I feel like, you know, we're voting at the end of the year, and while you could have looked at NHL in September and thought, like, oh, that's, like, pretty good, I think that they've done a really good job with post-release support, which, again, has been a theme with sports gaming in 2015. And so I wanted to give VA Canada, you know, a shout-out with that, and that's why I had it on my list.
TJ Lowerman, you were a bit of a – you deviated. I was going to say you were a bit of a deviant, which is true. But
sure.
I'll change it to you deviated from the norm in a very key way that may have cost certain games the game of the year. You had, number three, Derby King. Number two was Madden. And number one was MLB The Show. Explain yourself, sir.
Rich, it's really quite simple. I played – so much of MLB and Madden that there was no way they could not be one and two.
There you go.
That's
the best reason of all.
Yeah. Then when it came to number three, I had to think long and hard. Obviously, I could, you know, just go with the safe pick and be like, oh, FIFA, it's always good. NBA, it's always good. But no, I wanted to go with a game I felt passionate about and that I was still playing. Because FIFA really didn't do anything for me. As I've said, FIFA 10, FIFA 11, FIFA 12, loved these games so much that I was playing hundreds of hours of each of them. This year, if I played 20 hours of FIFA, I would actually be surprised by that number. I still think NBA 2K is way too hard for a casual person to get into. And
totally wrong. You are 1,000% wrong about that.
Well, I think you're
just
wrong, Rich.
Just so you know.
What else? Rocket League. Rocket League was real fun for that first, like, week and a half, 2 weeks. And then I just got kind of burnt out on it. And, yeah, kind of shocked MLB The Show didn't win again. The best game of last year got, in my mind, mountains better. Functional online play. I think I played 200 games of Diamond Dynasty. Diamond Dynasty, which I literally thought I would never play again after MLB 13 and 14's
iterations. I remember
iterations.
That. We talked about that. You were definitely off the Diamond Dynasty train in a big way.
And this year, they blew it out of the water with that. The mode is amazing. I double-checked to make sure I had them all today. I literally have every player card that you can have in Diamond Dynasty.
How much money did you spend?
Not that much in Diamond Dynasty.
Okay.
Because I played, I think it's 180-something games of Diamond Dynasty online.
No judgment here. No judgment. Just more curiosity. Well, no, all curiosity.
At some point, I knocked off the number three player in Diamond Dynasty. That was pretty awesome.
I hear the smile. I literally hear your smile right now. You were very proud of that.
Also, the greatest story in sports games happened this year in MLB The Show to my Road to the Show player, Cy Darmer. I don't know if you remember it. He was with the Reds.
Yep.
Johnny Cueto got traded. I was like, sweet. He's the ace now. Let's do this. He got one start, got shipped to Houston. I was like, all right. I don't really like this little outfield thing we got going on in left field, but let's see what happens. I throw a gem in Houston. After the game, the coach is yelling at me for some reason. And I'm like, I don't think this is going to work out very well. I might have to ask for a trade. Don't even get to ask for a trade. He already got traded to the Red Sox. We go on and win the World Series. Rich, this game is so deep. I don't need a commentator telling me what's going on. I just look at the players and they tell me what's going on. Look, I'm throwing chapstick around. I love this game so much, Rich. I had never, literally, when I saw this coach yelling at my guy after the game, I was like, what is going on? This makes no sense. And then I was traded the next game. And I almost lost my mind because it was so perfect. But yeah, you guys like basketball, so whatever. Baseball's America's pastime, guys. Yeah, I think you're really screwed up this time.
Brian Wiedeye, you, sir, had MLB The Show at number three. You had Rocket League, and I'm blown away by this, at number two, and NBA 2K16 at number one. You, sir, are a card-carrying member of the Rocket League fan club. Explain yourself.
Yeah, I went back and forth on Rocket League and NBA 2K16 as far as what should be my sports game of the year. And I think what I had to look at was all the hurdles that have to be crossed, all the restrictions that have to be worked under, and they have to find a way to excel under that comes with recreating a real life sport, recreating and doing that with licensing and meeting all sorts of guidelines and what you have is a flexibility with Rocket League to do whatever you want. It's a fantasy game. And with these licensed sports games, they don't have that. They have to work within the realistic framework. And so when I assess these games, I would say NBA 2K16, its achievements are ultimately greater because of that. As a whole, like I said in my review on Sporting News, it's the most impressive sports game ever assembled. And I don't think that can even really be argued as far as its feature set and how it excels in pretty much every area. Rocket League is a great game. It's probably my favorite game of the year, period. If I was saying my favorite game of the year, it'd be Rocket League, not NBA 2K16, actually. But I think NBA 2K16 deserves the recognition because of everything it has to go up against and how it has to find different ways to appeal to different audiences and give them so many different ways to play, again, all within the realistic context of the actual sport and recreating all the players and the broadcast presentation and dealing with 8 million people, 10 million people playing online and the servers holding up and 6 different online modes practically. There's just so much that goes into that game. And I love Rocket League. Again, probably my favorite game. But in naming a sports game of the year, it had to be NBA 2K16.
So my list, and that's just – it's another reason why I love this show and I love this panel. I love what everybody brings to the table because we all – there were no rules for what each of our personal lists for, right? It's just – no, my communication was just send me your top three, right? And so, Brian, you just defined what your criteria was for your top three, right? You said, if I had to pick a favorite game, it would have been Rocket League, but I think NBA 2K is the best. Everybody just kind of has their own criteria that they set for themselves. And so my list was based upon what did I enjoy the most this year. I'm not trying to take a critical eye to these games. I'm just saying what did I personally enjoy the most. So number three for me was Madden, because our Press Row online franchise, with all of our friends, in which several folks on this show are in, is terrific on the PlayStation 4. We've had it going for years, and it's great. We have a lot of fun. In fact, we have so much fun that Kat and I are even in a second league on the Xbox One with the old fourth string leaguers. Like, it's just that good. Do I think that Madden is like the most spectacular game? Well, it's pretty darn good. I enjoy it. I enjoy it quite a lot. So Madden was number three for that reason. Now, after my soliloquy on NBA 2K16, you probably expected that to be number two. I had an extremely difficult time choosing between number two and number one, but I actually went with NBA 2K as number two on my list, and my number one was MLB The Show. And the reason that I chose MLB 15 The Show as my number one is because no other sports game has ever let me completely invent an experience myself that fundamentally created the best sports game experience I've ever had. And what I mean by that is, and I know it wasn't, I actually talked about it last year in MLB 14 The Show, but just the quality of the game ramped it up. The fact that I played 162 game season offline, as well as the playoffs in the World Series, and I played in multiple online franchises with, Brian and TJ and others, because what I did was I player locked for 5 or 6 innings. I took 2 or 3 at bats and monitored the game. And then in the 6th or the 7th inning, I would undo player lock and then play the last 3 or 4 innings as the full 9. That experience is amazing. It has completely changed the way. There is no way I would ever have played 162 games if I did not do that. And it wasn't even something that was a mode in the game. It was just because the guys who make this game put in different options, there are so many options that let you completely create the experience of MLB The Show that you cannot do in any other game. Part of that is because of the nature of baseball. I can't really even draw a correlate to it in anything else. Like just playing offense in Madden, being in my career playing as your own dude for three quarters and then as the full five on five for the last. No, it doesn't really work. So that's why I personally chose MLB The Show. It let me craft a unique experience that took my enjoyment of a great game much more. I played much more of The Show because of that. And so, you know, that's it. But I mean, NBA 2K16 is spectacular, and NBA 2K16 is the official Press Row Podcast Sports Game of the Year. So congratulations to them. I feel great about that, and I feel really great about all of the votes that everybody had. So thank you, everybody, on the Press Row Podcast tonight. Real quick, before we go, it's been a long time since we have had everybody on the show. So let's just go around the horn real quick. Kat Bailey from US Gamer, where can we follow you? What cool things do you have going on? What's happening with Kat Bailey?
You can find me over at usgamer.net. I will be writing my own little sports game awards piece on Monday, so you should go check it out. Spoiler alert, I think Rocket League is really good. But like I said, this year I felt like a lot of sports games made real strides, and that goes for MLB and NBA 2K and Madden and NHL and others. And congratulations to everybody on a really successful year. I think this year was markedly better than last year, and it was really hard picking games. But anyway, if you want to listen to me talk about RPGs instead of sports games, you can listen to my RPG podcast, Axe of the Blood God. We are on Stitcher and iTunes. You should go and subscribe to us. We release an episode every Friday. And And if you want to listen to me talk about Star Wars, I was recently on Laser Time talking about the Star Wars Expanded Universe. I'm kind of a nerd.
Our good friend, was Michael Rapara on that episode?
Yeah.
He is the reason that I am doing all of this stuff. If it weren't for him, 11 years ago, getting a gig at Games Radar and then connecting with me, who he had met at a random E3 encounter, and saying, "Hey, you like sports games, right? I got this Tiger Woods game. Would you be interested in reviewing that?" If he had not done this, no, I would never have started writing reviews. I would never have done podcasts. I wouldn't be here right now talking to you guys. So thank you, Michael Rapara.
I'll make sure to pass it along. But in any case, oh, and of course, I think you already said my Twitter handle, but @_catbot. Go and follow and listen to me rant about the sadness that is being a Minnesota sports fan.
Chris Sanner from Operation Sports, where can we follow you? What are you doing? What's happening in the world of Chris Sanner?
Rich, that is a very, very complicated question. But to follow me, you can just follow me on Twitter @ChrisSNR. Be prepared to either laugh, be offended, or all the above. That's just how that goes if you follow me on there. But I'm obviously doing the Operation Sports thing. Got a bunch of other gigs going on. Weather, you know, my weather stuff. I also am involved in politics these days. So
Let's talk about that. That won't get controversial at all.
Yeah, I know. I am not running for governor, though, Rich, just so you know. I am not declaring my candidacy right now. But there was a short time where there was a push by the local party for me to run for state house, and I declared that I was not interested in such things, mainly because the idea of my day job being sitting around listening to a bunch of people argue with each other doesn't sound too fun when it's not about sports games. So, you know. So anyways, that's basically all that's up with me right now. Pretty cool. Pretty interesting.
Sumit Sarkar from Polygon, where can people follow you, see you, listen to you, and find out what's happening in the world of Sumit Sarkar?
Well, Kat is doing at US Gamer, Owen and I will be doing a sports game of the year type roundup on Polygon.com in the coming weeks. So we're both very excited about that. I will be advocating for a little soccer game you might have heard of, except it's not really soccer. Hint, hint. And we've got that going on. As listeners of the Press Row podcast will know, I really love TV. So I've actually been doing a lot more entertainment coverage lately at Polygon as well. I recently reviewed The Big Short and got some stuff on The Magicians and Master of None. So you can check that out as well on Polygon. And on Twitter, I am at Sumit Sarkar.
TJ Lowerman, where can we find out and follow the exploits of a certain That Sports Gamer?
Rich, I am on the internet. You can find me on Twitter at That Sports Gamer if you like my little bitty words of 140 characters. You can find me at hitthepass.com. I don't know if you've heard of this website. New, hot, pretty great. I do some typing.
Pretty great, yes.
I do some typing of words over there. You can read why MLB The Show got snubbed now and should have been Game of the Year. Very upset. I might have to go write a whole thing on how upset I am. But if you like hearing my voice, obviously you can hear me here on the Press Row podcast. But if you want to see my face, youtube.com/thatsportsgamer. See some hot Derby King action. You can see America's Trump's America win the steeplechase post today. But yeah. Also, I'm going to redo thatsportsgamer.com at some point. I don't know when, but make that like my homepage for everything. And more great stuff coming up in 2016, so stick tuned.
Brian Weedye from Hit the Pass and, of course, Pasta Padre, the you know, the number one independent sports site on the internet. Where can people find you, follow you, see what you're doing, what's going on in the world of Brian Weedye and Pasta Padre?
Yeah, Hit the Pass and Pasta Padre, Rich, plus sporting news and every social network, Pasta Padre. Yeah, every day. Every single day.
every single day.
Yeah, every single day. Something new at each one of those, I think. So, yeah, I appreciate all support and everybody who follows. And hopefully, you know, we got another good year ahead of us.
Absolutely. And Owen Good from Polygon, where can people find what you're doing, follow you, watch you, and read what you have to say?
At Polygon, obviously. I work Saturdays through Wednesdays, and on social media, I am at Owen Good.
Well, thank you, everybody, for listening to the Press Row podcast this year, and every year. We've had more than 3 million people listen to this show, which is an astounding figure in every way. I am humbled by that. It's and it's all due to the great people on this panel. 2015 was a spectacular year. We launched Hit the Pass. Brian Weedye and I, and of course many people, including TJ and Kat, have contributed significantly to it, and I thank you guys for that, and many others as well. It's just been an amazing run. And after this episode, we're going to have our annual year-end spectacular where all sorts of friends of the show are going to count down their top three sports games of the year, and we are looking forward to a fantastic 2016 with a lot of great things happening with this show, with Hit the Pass, and with a whole bunch of other cool stuff. So I want to thank each and every one of you for making this show happen. It would not be here if it were not for you. It would not be here had Operation Sports not given me a chance to give it a go. So I thank Steve Noah and maybe Chris Sanner, mostly Steve Noah, for that. Thank you very much, Steve. You're a great guy. And thank you, everybody, for out of there in the Press Row community for doing what you do, supporting the show, and talking to us about sports video games. We love it. We appreciate it. Thanks, everybody. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We'll talk to you again real soon. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening to this episode of the Press Row podcast. We'd like to invite you to go check out hitthepass.com, a website all about the sports games of today, yesterday, and tomorrow. We've got video, we've got audio, we've got written pieces, all about the sports games that we love. On behalf of everybody from Hit the Pass and the Press Row podcast, thanks.